All right, so now nobody can say anything good because I've hit record. Everybody's got to be well behaved. Can't say any of the cool stuff. Welcome to the OFAX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me is our race ready rocket, Bethany McChesney. There you go. I was even ready for that. And Tara Jackson. Normally we do like a preamble, but like with Tara, we're just not going to do that. We're just here.
This is like a quarterly meeting.
Quarterly meeting. Yeah, I know. It's not enough. It's actually not often enough. Okay. What do you want to start with, Tara? You want to start with the Worlds or you want to start with New York?
I guess we go chronological. We can start with Worlds.
All right, Worlds it is. So you went to Worlds. How'd that go?
Well, aside from running an extra lap, it went really well.
All right. How was it though? Because you went over early, right?
Yeah, so I went over. I got there Tuesday morning. So I left Monday night and got there Tuesday morning. So I just feel like I had plenty of time to like acclimate and get ready to do the race and relax. So it was nice. There wasn't like too much to do in Manchester, which is like, I think a good and a bad thing. Cause sometimes you like do too much before the race. Cause there's like, oh, I'm somewhere new and like, yeah, let's go. So Manchester was like so dull. So you just hang out
and eat classic British cuisine.
No, I did none of that. The worst food there is. Just like beans and sausages and
a lot of deep fried stuff.
Fried fish. Yeah. Fish and chips. Nothing up my alley. So the culinary scene in Britain is not for me.
Well, at least you're better off. You didn't have a story like Vivian Tefuto had with her massage thing.
Yeah, at least she had Katie.
Yeah. So. I don't know. Have you heard that one, Beth?
I didn't hear that story. No.
Oh, yeah. She went. She had scheduled a massage for like before the race. I think it might have been on Thursday. And she shows up to where the massage is supposed to be. And it's like somebody's apartment. And she's like kind of weirded out. And like she doesn't want to do it. And like, I guess the guy comes down and she's just like, yeah, I don't think I want to do this. And he gets like real irate with her. And I think she ends up calling Katie, and Katie comes and like is mean to him, and then they leave, and then he like harassed her on social media and stuff.
Yeah,
and
like her he found her family on social media and were sending messages saying like,
no,
you know, your Vivian is an unprofessional person and da-da-da and all this stuff. And I don't know. Yeah, it was, yeah. She went back. Apparently she went back to pay because she backed out, right? But she was going to pay, which, you know, because she booked the appointment, and she brought Katie with her because she didn't want to go alone.
Yeah, that's smart.
But yeah, apparently it was quite a scene. We'll have to have her on one day, and she can recount it. But
nicer than me, I would have never went back and paid. I'd have been like, you're trying to have some kind of shiesty massage place in your apartment, and it doesn't say anything on that. I'm like, no, that's sketchy.
It's bad when you list your massage parlor on Tinder. It's just not right.
It's just not right.
All right. So you went and so you had the opportunity to do Vegas. You had the opportunity to this. How was the opening ceremony thing compared? Because I mean, Vegas, it was like the night before, right? And then Manchester, they kind of did it right before.
Yeah, I honestly didn't see the opening ceremonies because I was like warming up. But I heard it was really cool. And like the intro to like the elite heats was really cool. Like the videos and like the video editing and stuff was really awesome. Like their little pre-race video was cool. So it felt, you know, it was a Hyrux event. They always like to put on like a show. So they did a good job in putting that on.
When you went to your race, and how are you feeling going, and how'd the race run? Because I mean, obviously, you guys were amped for this. This is the best of the best. You had a hell of a field.
Yeah, the course. I mean, I was worried about how the course would run because it was such short laps. But it almost ran like an indoor track. Like there was, you could get some like decent like stride going, and the curves were really smooth. And then every time you come around, it's like the whole crowd is like up in the stands, so you get like that energy every time you're around. But they. weren't going to have the screen. This is where the lap snafu come in, which I just wish they wouldn't have had it because it wasn't working correctly. So me and Linda actually both ran an extra lap after the slow pull, because we were running together. And I was like, well, if she's running an extra lap, I am too. So, but the screen told us we still had another lap left, but we definitely did not, because it was like a minute slower than every one of my laps. So I was like, I was pretty sure I ran an extra one, but then when I look back at the results, I definitely did. So kind of a bummer. I've never done that before. So like to do it like in the biggest race of the year is kind of disappointing, but it is what it is. I felt really good. That's why I decided to like actually run New York, is because I was like, well, my fitness is good. I just can't count. It was actually Carl, the guy who does HyrUX Daily, asked me, or I was asking the women, what does it take to beat Meg Jacoby? And I was like, I need her to run a few extra laps. Laps. So
You got it backwards.
yeah, I got it backwards. I needed for her to run them, not me. I needed all the help I could get. But I think it was well set up. It ran pretty like normal. I thought the sleds were actually pretty heavy for like a European sled, but I feel like they run kind of slow in the UK anyways. Like I feel like the UK sleds are typically slower than the rest of Europe, and the courses are typically slower. So I don't know what it is, the difference, but they definitely were not fast sleds, in my opinion.
No, it didn't seem like it by the times. Everybody seemed like to have like more of a North American time on their sleds than the...
Except it went like 208 or something.
Sorry, who was that?
Bell.
Yeah, Bell really made a believer out of a lot of people.
Yeah, she had a killer race. But I think she probably went on a little hot on the sleds because her next lap was, she kind of suffered, but then she was right back up there. So that's the thing about HyrUX. I feel like you have enough time to die and come back. It's such a long race.
Yeah, I was watching. Did you get a chance to watch the live stream?
I actually just like scrolled through to see if I could see myself run an extra lap, and I didn't watch it. No.
Was watching Belle there, I thought she came out really hot and I was like, oh wow, she's really good. And then she died off and I was like, okay, well, she's done. She's out. And then like you say, she was come
She's
back.
out of the first run, right?
Yeah, she was coming out hot.
I kind of held hung back because I know how they like to take out. So like I'll just chill back here, and wait.
We were surprised how many people ran with Lauren.
Oh yeah, well I don't think the field is full of runners. Like I've told this to my coach many times, and I'm like, people who run this sport is like crazy because you would never go out this fast in a running race. Like it's just like suicide. But somehow these people are able to like basically run their mile pace for the first K and recover. Because I looked at some of the times from Battle Bunker and people who ran. I mean, I think Lauren ran like a 5:28, and I swear to you that we're running every bit of 5:28 that first K. It's nuts. Like, but I don't know. They recover and then they're fine. So good on them. But I feel like if I did it, I'd just be like, it just ruined my whole race. So I just held back and just waited.
So all in all, though, if you take away the extra lap, you were happy with your time, your performance?
Yeah, I would have probably been just under 105. So on an arena course, that would have been like a PR for me. I ran actually the same exact time I ran in Maastricht, and the sleds were heavier, and I didn't run an extra lap there. So I think overall, like I've improved throughout the season, but it was kind of disappointing. Like, I run the numbers and stuff, and I'm like looking at my times from Vegas and Manchester. And I was like expecting to see, like, I took the extra lap off to compare, but I'm like, I didn't get any better at this. I just didn't. Like, my runs were stronger. Like, I was able to run off the stations better because I was stronger, but my stations were not. I think five or it might have been six. I think five of the stations were slower. One was the exact same, and only two were better, and not by a lot. So I was like, I don't know. So I actually felt better about the race until I started comparing the numbers, and damn it, I thought I did so much better. And I'm like, yeah, it's about the same. I just was able to run better fatigued. So I don't know. I have to go back to the drawing board on that one. Because I felt like I was a lot stronger through the stations, but the numbers don't say that.
Yep. Okay. And I thought about this before. If we were talking just running a 10K, right? And you're running a 10K, and over the year, like when you're at your level, you're at that elite level. And if you shaved 30 seconds off over the year, you'd be like, oh my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And now with HYROX, everybody wants to make like a 3 minute jump from race to race.
Well, it's not about the jump. It's that I worked so hard in the off season on the stations, and I expected to see an improvement on the stations,
Yeah.
and I didn't see that. So it wasn't necessarily so much about the time because I was happy with that. Like, but I was kind of disappointed to see that all the work that I put into the stations really, it really wasn't showcased in the results. But I guess what was that I was able to run better off of the stations. So overall, I'm super happy with the time. I just thought that I would be a little bit better on the burpees and the farmer's carry and stuff like that. But I feel like those are staying kind of the same. I'm just getting better at running off of them. So I got to figure out a way to like push the stations a little bit faster. So there's a lot of time there, and I'm not utilizing it. So, because I think I looked at it, if without the extra lap, I think I would have had the third fastest time after Megan Lauren for just the run, but I'm just getting crushed in the stations still.
It's tough. There's definitely a secret formula.
Yeah, and I was talking to, I don't know if y'all know Jay Fit
Yep.
on it.
Future Canadian.
Yeah, future Canadian. So my goal this year is to break 32 by the end of the year in DECA. But I'm like trying to find like the perfect balance of running fast and with the stations. 'Cause like even in a running race, a few extra seconds per mile can make a huge difference on your recovery. So is it worth running a little bit slower to try to like hit the stations a little bit harder? Like, so I'm gonna kind of play with that. I have Carolina, Puerto Rico, and Orlando to like play with my strategy to kind of see what works out best for me.
Do you maybe like you gotta, I mean, I'm not a running expert, but do you gotta vary your pace from different, like treat each run after each day for station like it's a different run? Because I mean, the amount of energy you're gonna put out there on the assault bike compared to the amount of energy you're gonna put out there of the box overs, it's gonna be a different run after.
I think all the runs could be similar though, up to the assault bike. It's like running off the lunges and high rocks. Like, you know that it's going to be a slower run, but like the other stations aren't like very like muscularly taxing. So, and like you build that into the run too. Like, I know that the run off the bike is going to be the slowest, but strategically maybe you run it even a little bit slower to recover and just playing with like how you're gonna run the race. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited that I have a few opportunities to race a DecaFit before Worlds that are kind of like closer together, so I can fine tune it. Because I feel like last year I was so wrapped up in HYROX, I only ran Palm Beach, and then I had Worlds. So
It kind of worked out though.
it did. But I think it's going to be more competitive this year, just like HYROX. So I need to have everything kind of in line, and having a little bit more time to practice will be helpful.
Sorry,
Won't
my
have to
dog.
wear apps because there's only two. So that's good.
And the course is always the same, which really helps too with consistency.
And I think that's what really is like draws me more towards Deca, even though, I mean, it plays more to my strengths for sure, but like with the new qualification system for Hyrox, like I know that I'm gonna have to go overseas again just to get a qualifying time because I was hoping that would be New York, but I honestly think on that course I probably would have ran like a 10, probably like at least 3 minutes faster just on the run because my run's usually like 33 low and it was like 35 high. And I had a good run. Like it was not. So I don't know. And I just don't know if it's like worth like flying to another US race to like risk it to be like, oh, this could be another bad course, or Dallas is usually okay. I don't know if LA's in the same venue or not. At least you know if it's in the same venue, you can kind of look at last year and be like, well, this course ran okay. I knew that New York was going to run slow, but I think it was even worse than like previous years because there was no room to open up. Like they were so crowded. They had way more people. This event was like 2,500 versus like last year. I don't even know how many people they had, but it was just like straight 5 miles of just like pushing people out of the way. Same
Yeah.
day, Andre. Like I think we would have probably been in the 57s, but we legit were just having to like go out wide, push people out of the way. Like it was just nuts. Like our run was actually slower than our individual. I mean, I know we were tired, but the amount of crowding with all the doubles, like on that tiny little course, was just insane.
Yeah, they need to change. Like almost like right now when you go out there, they're like, okay, if you're slow, stay on the outside. If you're fast, go on the inside. Well, everybody thinks they're fast.
There were people. I ran into a guy who was literally standing in the middle of the fast lane. He just stopped to look at the board in the middle, and I ran right into him. And like people, I mean, I wasn't like punching them or anything, but I was just like pushing them kind of out to the side when I was trying to run inside, and they would get all upset. And I'm just like, I don't want to be a jerk, but at the same time, like having to yell constantly while you're running is not great either. Plus, the New York venue is like the driest freaking place I've ever been. I've never had to drink so much water. I don't know. They probably didn't televise me and Dylan's doubles that we did there 2 years ago, but I probably drank like 2 liters of water while he was doing the stations. So dry in there. Like my mouth, it was just insane. And it was like that again this year. So, I mean, and it wasn't just me, obviously. Like Lauren ran like almost 5 minutes slower on a regular course, which should be technically faster for the stations at least, which they were, but the run was just so slow. And then Chris also ran slower, and she said she felt really good. So I don't know. I think everybody ran slower there, and really we should have all ran faster because of the layout.
So then why, when they know these numbers are so high, aren't they letting the elites just go first?
Well, they never want to like acknowledge there's any difference in courses for one. And I think no, we didn't go first. We went at 9:40, so I think we went after mixed doubles usually goes first. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just because you got to think they can't like they have to alternate between doubles and singles because you can't put so many doubles on the course because then it's too people for and they're probably the most like popular event. Like I think more people run doubles than run individual.
Yeah.
So you have to create some space between those and they do that with the individual events. So I think it's probably a time and scheduling thing as far as like putting the pro like in between doubles events.
With the 2-day events, I would think they could give them an open course. Here's the thing.
Courses so small. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Like you put, I don't know, 200 people on the course and it is crowded. Like, so if you have 2,500 people, even if it's over 2 days, like just a lot of people like to run through a 250 meter course or really
And
because it was 4 1/4 laps. So probably like 225 meters. So it's just really, really small.
I honestly think that they want the crowd there because they want it to look busier. They want it to look like more fans, and they want that helps what helps with that atmosphere. That they do amazing at with the atmosphere, but the times suffer because of it.
They said that they won't have it at that venue next year. They're getting a bigger venue. Because I think the first year they had it there was only like 800. So it's grown a lot. So I think they've just grown out of the space. But for the majority of people, obviously people want a fast time, but people aren't trying to qualify. Like, it's okay for like age groups because everybody's running the same course and they're running for place. So everybody's dealing with the same kind of conditions. Like, so if you're just running to win, that's fine. But if you're running for a time, then yeah, the variance of these courses is like crippling. Because I know the course that I ran in Madrid, like the stations were not like particularly fast, actually. Like, I don't know, I've picked the only fucking Spain course that like the guy, all three guys ran Frankfurt 2 weeks later and ran like 3 minutes faster. But there was no crowding on those courses. And I don't know if that's going to change because people are like, oh yeah, you got to go to Spain to run a fast time. So maybe more competitive people are going to start going to Spain and maybe those courses get more crowded. But I have no idea. But I know that like the crowd, especially as a runner, makes a huge difference. For your time.
So Beth mentioned it earlier, though, with the and you mentioned it with the new qualification system, which really is just the old system but a little bit bigger. I don't think they changed anything.
It's more like I think it's less advantageous towards Americans, like because you got to think there's only three American spots now. If you don't travel outside of the United States, unless the last chance is going to be here. So if, say, Michaela is healthy again and she flies over and she takes a US spot, which is, feasible, or even like Linda or maybe Miriam, like, if one or two Europeans come over and take one or two spots, then, that's one American spot, except for those people who can afford to travel overseas. But they already need a qualifying time from the US. So it's like we have like double whammies. Like if they're gonna, I feel like they should have the US race is only for US. There's a European race that's open. There's a Europe race that's only for Europe, and then there's an Asian race. So Americans could come to that one European race and race if they wanted to, but then the other race would be closed for just Europeans. That way, there would only be Americans coming from the American race. So that would guarantee that there's three spots, which, I mean, there was four of the top five women who were American. So obviously we have the depth here, that we deserve more than three spots, So and I don't think it should come down to who has the most funds to travel, which I think is what it's going to end up coming down to, which I don't think it's fair at all. Because if you got six spots in Europe, it's so much cheaper to travel over there, especially like within Europe, and it's way less on your body. It's way less time you have to spend away from work. So I don't know. I just think that it's really stacked against people who are in the US. And the Asian market isn't even proven yet. So, like, obviously, Americans, I mean, they could travel to Singapore or wherever the race is going to be. That's like a long freaking trip. So, not only does Europe have access to America and Asia, they also have two races in their backyard. So, I think that it's just like, I don't know. And then there's not an Asian woman that's ran like under 110. So there hasn't been a race over there that anybody's really shown that they deserve to go to world championship. So if people can't afford to go to Singapore, then maybe there's one or two spots with people who are far less capable than people who are in Europe or America.
When I saw you guys, so the four girls, right? Yourself, Lauren, Chris, Alundra, all go to New York. And
Yeah.
I imagine you all had the same idea in your head. Okay, let's get a quick qualifying time in now while I'm really fit. And then that'll roll over so I can go to whatever the US regionals or wherever. So you have one of those top 15 spots. And then when we saw how slow the course was, I'm like, and therein lies the problem.
Yeah, because Lauren might not even get in with that time. I mean,
I don't think so.
well, no, she might get into the major. Like, I mean, the net first major I think is in Barcelona in November. You think there's 15 girls that run under 104?
But no, hers is 107 because of her penalty.
No, it's wrong. She ran 104.
Oh, I thought they gave her a 3-minute penalty.
No, they really messed up with the timing. She ran like a 104:27 or something.
Yeah.
There was something messed up because originally they had taken time off of her time, hers and Alondra's, and it said that she ran a 101. And then they added a 6-minute penalty, which made her a 107. Like it was just really messed up. She ran a
So what was it all for then? Because I saw her time switched multiple times too.
There was like some kind of timing issue with the first lap, and her and Alondra and Lauren's first lap read like a minute and 30 seconds, but they ran the whole lap. So for some reason they took away 3 minutes. I honestly have no idea why, because the overall times from the finish were fine, and then they added some kind of judgment score, and then they took I don't know. It was really weird. So who knows? It was.
So right now, you're right. They are listing her at a 104.27.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that should be enough to get her into the
Yeah.
major, but you just never know. I mean, they could have, obviously, I think all the women in Europe who are in the top 15 are probably going to run a race before Barcelona. So then that's what, eight? That could maybe get in before her and say, like, I don't know, Michaela is back, and there's a few other people that maybe run a fast Europe American race that's better than New York, and then they decide they want to go to Barcelona. So I think the 104 should be fine, but you just never know. There was a lot of time I never expected when I ran 104 in Madrid that I would even have to worry about like qualification until time started falling, and I was like, damn, I might be in trouble. Obviously I was fine, but you just never know how the sport's going to progress. So it just sucks that you spend money to go to the race and then you could show up and then it's not a great course. Especially that's one thing about investing in a Europe race too. You're not really guaranteed that the course is going to be great. Obviously don't go to the UK because they just have the crowding issue, but I don't know. I mean, I think you got a better shot in Europe for sure.
No, I mean it is sad to see that they've buried their head in the sand on it, and just a course is a course is a course, and it just is so blatantly not.
Well, we were arguing with them. Like, I didn't say anything in the meeting, but they were trying to say how the sleds in Hong Kong were the same sleds, they were the same weights, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're trying to tell me that Gabe Heck, who is like freaking tall and skinny as hell, is pushing the sled a minute faster than Hunter. Get out of here. Even Tom Hogan pushed like a 2-minute low, I think. And I mean, Tom is good, but again, he's not faster than Hunter on the sled. So the sleds clearly were moving fast. And again, that's not the athlete's fault. Like, he flew over there, he did what he needed to do to get his qualifying time. But it's just you can't control the sleds, but they're just not going to get rid of them. So I would be more upset about the run course.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, being a runner, I'll take an extra 30 to 45 seconds on the sled if you could actually like run.
Yeah, get open up.
Yeah. So
I know. I put my 2 cents into High Rocks, and you know, politely they listened and moved along.
It's, I mean, I hope that they're listening. I mean, I think that, you got Lauren and Mark in there that are athletes and they understand like the difference in courses and stuff. So hopefully, like, they take their feedback and are like, okay, these are things that we could change. But I don't think they're like gonna recognize the problem. So I don't really foresee that kind of stuff getting fixed.
No, I honestly thought that it would this year. I thought this was the year that they would acknowledge that, you know, there's obvious issues with, and it's not even an issue if you set the thing up right where people race the rat. I mean, they do it with age group. It should be done, you know, in some way. Anyway, there's tons of different ways to do it that are more logical than what they're doing.
Well, I
But
don't understand why they don't just do, because I think that they should roll down. Like,
yes.
so with the American Championships, like, if the top three already qualified in Barcelona, there's no more spots. So if Lauren and Meg and, I don't know, Belle go to Barcelona and all three qualify, then they'll come over here and take all the American spots too. So then we'll all have to go somewhere else if we want to make it into Worlds. And it's very probable that those three girls, I mean, they're at the top of the sport right now, are going to travel internationally because that's the only way you can make any money. So they'll travel and then they'll win those races and they'll come home and then they'll win this race too. So it doesn't open up a lot of opportunities for, like, I want to say, like, the lower elite level athletes in the US. Obviously, Lauren and Meg are kind of just like a tier above everyone right now. Nobody has even come close to breaking 60 besides them two on arena courses. Well, Meg's wasn't on arena course, but I mean,
She's put in a killer time at Worlds.
So they're both just kind of like a little bit above the competition right now. So I foresee them traveling to probably all the majors, if I had to guess.
So then I guess I don't really understand then, without the roll downs, could there be a situation then when there isn't 15 athletes?
So they'll have the four majors that have three spots. If they're all the same athletes, so say Meg and say Michaela's back. Meg, Michaela, and Lauren win all of them. So now there are going to be nine spots that they will then allocate to time. So they will take your two fastest races that you've ran in open style courses. Like if you run a major, that time doesn't count. So say I ran New York and I ran Miami. They would average those two times, and then those two times would put me basically on a time board like it was this year for those nine spots. But now that I have a shitty time from New York,
It's
like,
even worse.
it's worse for me because I'm probably not going to get a top three spot from the majors. So then I'm going to need to run probably two more races to get a good enough average time. So really, I would probably need to run like two races in Europe or run one race in Europe and hope that I get a decent course in America and have. But then you got to think that's just a lot of travel. So, I was excited to go back to New York and race, but I was kind of disappointed that the course was so shitty. And then I'm definitely going to probably, I don't think 107 is going to get me into the major races.
And then having a slow time reduces your average if they're taking average.
Yeah, well, they take your two fastest. So, I mean, I could get rid of the 107 if I just race more. But,
So,
I don't have endless funds to just fall over the world and chase these races.
last year you had to get lucky and score one fast course. This year you have to get luckier and score two fast courses.
Well, their reasoning was then somebody can't just get lucky on a course and
It's
then
faulty
getting.
logic.
Yeah, because if you're in Europe, the courses on average are going to be faster. So I think more likely you get a slow course in the US than it is that you're going to get a slow course in Europe. So it's still heavily weighted towards Europe.
It's like they've done this like where they've had a bad engineering idea, but they refuse to admit it's wrong, so they're going to keep tinkering with it no matter what, rather than admit it's a bad idea and start from ground zero. They're
I
just
just
going
think,
to keep modifying it.
like, it's not even up for question. The courses are slower here, but I just don't understand why.
Oh, why they're
Like,
slower? I'm
why they're slower? Like, it just makes no sense that they should be slower. Like, overall, like, it just doesn't make sense that there's so many European courses, and on average, they're just so much faster. And when I say so much, I'd say 60 to 90 seconds faster. Which is a lot when you have, places probably 10 through 20 that are going to be within 90 seconds of each other.
Well, I mean, you got really two things, two factors, equipment and layout, right?
But they said that the course, the equipment's all the same.
The
But I feel
equipment in
Mark,
theory is all the same.
yeah, I feel like, or maybe it was Mark was telling me that they do have a different way of laying out the courses in Europe. But I don't understand why they don't just create the course like DECA and then fit the course to the venue or fit the venue to the course. So, like, if the course has to be four laps, it has to be four laps, but it's going to be four laps everywhere. And they put the stations in the exact same place every single time. And then that would eliminate, too. I feel like sometimes you run in and you're like, oh shit, like, where is the sled pull? Where is this? Like, you have to almost like, study beforehand and be like, okay, well, this is over here. And so I think that would eliminate a lot of confusion.
I've done it before where I've shown people who don't run high rocks two maps from two different venues, and it doesn't even look like the same race. Like you can't even tell you're doing the same race. It's like I'm with you. I say make it four laps every time. You'll fit it in any venue you want. And they've proven they can do it. Make it four laps every time. Same thing. Boom, boom, boom. It works fine. But I think
Because
the
I kept asking them, like, what? Well, they're like, well, we have to find spaces. And I'm like, if you make the course smaller, it will fit in every venue. You don't have any courses that are five laps. Like, just make it four laps, and then that's what it's going to be. But I imagine that you could not have a four lap course for any of the races in the UK. It just wouldn't work because there's too many people. So they
And
have to utilize the bigger space to make them able to put 9,000 people through in 2 days.
if
But I
they
mean,
do that,
it's all about money. Like, I mean,
course it is.
so if they can't, like, and I get it, it's a business. Like, they can't just be like, oh, well, we're capping it at 2,000. We're barely making a profit. But now the courses are the same. Like, no, they're going to try to make a bigger profit. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not a business person. I don't know how to run it in a way that they can make a profit and simultaneously be fair for the elite athletes.
Well, I
So
mean,
I
I.
think you are hitting the nail on the head though here with like, so you were talking about the 30 to 40 people who are trying for these positions versus the thousands and thousands who pay the bills for high rocks. So again, who are they really? Who do they have to please at the end of the day? Like getting the 9,000 at one race through versus, the couple people who are trying to figure out their spot. And I mean, at the end of the day too, they're probably like, oh, well, then they have to race an extra race. It's still more money in their pocket, right? So I think kind of like what you said, if they could somehow just run the pro heats at the beginning of the day and only run men and women and basically have like a flex period of like, 30 minutes to clear the course, or not 30 minutes, but like they pretty much wait until, I don't know, the last person is like on lunges or something. So that the course is not crowded for everybody, and then they just run the course normal. Because the course could run significantly better. Like the corners weren't great, but it's also a lot different when you're running a course with like 30 people on it versus 200 people on it.
No.
So that would create a little bit more fairness. But I don't know how much extra time that would take. Or it would put them back. Or if they could even run pro and then run the relays, since the relays are only like one person is running at a time and doing stations. So that would be less crowding than running doubles.
Yeah. And it'd be
So
faster moving too.
faster moving. So you probably wouldn't get as much like people walking in lane one, and so maybe that would be a good kind of solution, but they don't want to run relays in the beginning of the day because they probably have a race that they're also running.
Yeah, again,
You
that's the money thing.
run pro, maybe run relays and then you run pro at the end of the day.
There you go. I was of the thing, and we said it before, where even if they wanted, with the way they've set it up now, if they just made a roll down on those regionals, I'm not sure if that's what they're calling, but a roll down on those regionals, and made it so that they were truly open, where you didn't need a qualifying time to go to regionals. Everybody could go and race in Elite and regionals, and then there's no worries about courses. There's no finding good courses, bad courses, anything. Everybody races their way in, and it's
Yeah.
solid.
Well, they did open championships in Chicago a few years ago. That's not gotten to Worlds, but like it was open. And the last chance qualifier is open too.
Is it
Yeah.
okay? So if
I think maybe even they could make a simulation, like if they wanted to do to get in the regionals, you have to run, you at least have to run a pro race.
Sure.
Or like not make a time qualification on it, but like say that you, or even if it was a time cap, like you have to run a pro race in under an hour and a half. Like not
Perfect.
like a significant one, but one where you like kind of weed out all the people that are probably going to be walking and they're not really in contention anyways. So even if they wanted to do something like that, so it's not like based on like who runs the top, but they want to run the arena style for the regional event. So that's why they have to do it that way.
Save that arena style for Worlds, and make it fair to get to Worlds, and then you got the best people.
Well, they're doing like some kind of TV thing or something. So I could understand, well, I mean, not from my perspective, but like if you're trying to film it, I feel like arena style is easier because you can put cameras up, like stationary cameras, or more like stationary cameras. Everybody kind of in one spot versus like, the other ones, like, but they only followed like the top three people in Worlds, anyways. So who cares? They follow the top three people in a regular run heat. Like, if they were going to make coverage of like all the athletes, or at least like, I don't know, seven or eight of them, then arena style, yeah, would probably make a little bit more sense. But if you're only going to follow one, two, and three, then I think you can follow them in the regular course.
If you can figure out how to follow a marathon, you can figure out how to follow a Hyrox. It's not that difficult. It should be done. I don't know. Those are the problems. They do a lot of good stuff, and we love them still, but
Yeah.
I would just wish they would not bury their head in the sand on this one.
Yeah. It's like I really wanna, I mean, the itch to race is there. Like having good races have made me want to race, but it almost feels like an impossible feat unless I spend a lot of money to make it to Worlds next year.
And even then, you're guessing.
Yeah, even then I'm just spending money and just hoping.
Yeah, a little too lottery-ish. All right,
Yeah.
so next up, like you said, you're getting ready. Now you're, I mean, you are going to run more Hyrox, but now you're kind of getting into Deca mode, right?
Yeah, so I have all those DECA events coming up and I'm shifting my focus on that. Just getting fast and furious. I'm gonna try to, I think it's been a, I started running when I was 11 and ran cross country in high school. And it's been a goal of mine since I was 14 to break 18 in the 5K. I'm gonna do it this year.
There you
I'm,
go.
yeah, been close. But so I think DECA is like the perfect opportunity to start training for the 5K again and get my speed down. The mile's good. I just need to stretch it out a little bit.
So with top 20 this year, what do you think it's going to take to make it into the top 20?
I honestly think number 20 will be slower than number 12 last year.
Yeah.
It will take less to get in to the elite heat this year than it what did last year, which I don't personally agree with. I think that I have many problems with the top 20, one being that there's just not enough depth to warrant that there's 20 spots. And another, I don't like that there's two heats. So you don't race who you're racing. So I don't think that like number 10 is probably gonna like be that close to number one. But at the same time, I would like everybody I'm racing to be in the same race.
I like the top 20 for age group because, again, age group is paying the bills. So you get
Yeah.
more of them there. For the elite, I would have 10. I wouldn't even have 12.
Yeah.
I would go. What's that?
I don't think you need 12. I mean, 10. I think 10 right now with where the sport's at, I think 10 is enough. I mean, or even if they had a time standard, like you have to run under 36
Yeah.
for 36 for women and I don't know, 33 for men or something like that. Because it comes down to it's not fun watching a race where like the first person is done and like the last person is still on station nine. It's too short of a race to have that much of a gap. Like that's why like they I feel like with HYROX they're always like they were talking about how they should have more spots. I was like, do you realize how much time was between first and last? Like a lot of time. Like I know that Megiddo was hurt. But even if you like take out Megiddo, there's still like 8 minutes between first and last. And for the women, nobody was hurt. So there was 13 minutes between first and last, because I think last was like 112. Like it's just too much time. Like there's no reason unless, you know, everybody's getting to the wall balls at the same time. Like it's like a race from 1 to 15 is like less than 3 minutes, then sure, because that's still exciting, but it's not, you know, you don't need to keep adding people just to add people.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, when I'm watching, and even in the coverage, and they showed it, who are you seeing past the top 10? Like you're not seeing them except for at the end when you're like, hey, here they come, and that's great, but yeah, 10 is enough. 10, you know, but like I said, for age group, put in 20 because they're flipping the bills, so you want more of them to come, right? They're paying for the prize money to give to the elites, so yeah. Well, yeah, we want 20 of you guys, 30, whatever it takes. Just keep bringing them in. But
I
it
mean,
also.
it'll be, even though it's, you know, just age group, I think you should make it, I think 20 is enough that it's still an accomplishment to like make it. I don't think it should just be like, oh yeah, everybody's in. Like then it's not. I think it should still be an accomplishment to make it to Worlds, not kind of just like a joke that everybody gets in. 'Cause I feel like they could just add an open category.
And they did that last year at Worlds for DECA. They had the open category. I want, I
If they're
wondered.
days, why not? They're gonna have plenty of time.
Yeah. 3 days. Yeah, that's crazy. Do you know, or either of you know, are they doing the individual first and the relay second?
That's what I thought.
Why wouldn't they do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure because it changes everything around. So let's say, for example, somebody like Megiddo who ran the relay with Mark Gaudette. If you put the relay first and then the individual second, chances are Megiddo is not going to run that relay.
Nobody good is going to run the relay.
Exactly. So I mean, it completely changes the game if they switch that.
But there's no money in the relay. So,
Yeah, exactly.
relay. But the relay is fun if, like, you can do it after, but, like, the top people who are competing for money are not going to run the relay if it's before. Like, I wouldn't have ran the relay unless it was the very last event after all other events. That's why, like, if they put the relay before the deck of fit, I wouldn't run the relay because it's like, it's not an easy kind of thing. It's like a hard freaking, like, sprinting. And I almost think aerobically, it was just as hard as running a regular deck of fit. Like, there's like all gas in that event and it hurts. So I think it would just really water down the relay if you did that.
Yeah.
So hopefully I don't think they'll do that.
No, I was
but
just, like I said, I'm not saying one's better or the other one's better. I thought it was interesting the way it changes the game if they switch them around. Because a
yeah,
lot of
it'll.
people have, some people have said, especially with HYROX, that the top 15 shouldn't be allowed in the doubles category.
I mean, if you get beat fresh by people who just raced the day before, then I think that's your own problem. Like, I mean, it's really hard to race the second day. Like, racing the second day in New York, I mean, I'm still freaking sore. So, like, I think you should be able to compete if you want to compete the next day. If you qualify, why not?
There's the key. I think if you qualify, it's world's best person wins.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll change it next year, but I don't think they should.
I'm all, like I said, I'm all right with that one, even though I've heard some people complain and
Well, they're probably complaining because somebody who was in the elite took their spot on like the podium.
it's just like if you have an injury substitution and still win and then they complain.
I know. Well, they're complaining because they didn't win. Like,
I don't understand the complaining thing either. And same thing, like you said, like if someone normally races elite but they don't get into the top 20 and then they jump down to age group and win their age group, why would anybody complain? They were the best in their age group that day. The complaining is because people are age groupers, which I don't understand even why we have categories like that, where they're defined as two different people. Then why would they complain?
I feel like as a competitor, you should want the best competition. So I think it just shows that like these people don't really want to compete. They just want an easy win. They just want like a podium picture. They just want whatever. Because if you're there to compete, you don't want like just nobody to be there. So I mean, for me, like in Knoxville, like not knocking anybody who ran, but like it doesn't really feel that good when you win by like 7 minutes. Like it's like, oh yeah, this is a fun, right? But like it's not fun. Like in New York, me going head to head with Chris, even though she beat me, like that's fun. Like I like to be with people that I can actually race. So, you know, if you get beat, then you just weren't as good.
And
So,
that's
all right.
one of the things that especially Beth has a problem with is some,
Yeah.
like in DECA, you have to declare, am I running a lead or am I running a competitive, which is essentially age group. And we're of the
That's
belief you shouldn't have to decide.
silly because everything's the same.
What's
Like
that?
in HYROX, they have the almost the opposite issue, like where it's like, oh yeah, you qualified in open, but yeah, when you get to Worlds, you're gonna use pro weights. But other people who qualified in pro are also using pro weights. Like I'd like to see the numbers of how many people who qualified in open beat people who qualified in pro.
There was no logic to that move whatsoever. That made no sense.
It's just a completely different race. And I think like they should actually put more attention on like the open and call it like HYROX, just call it HYROX. And then call the other one like HYROX heavy or whatever you want to call it. Because for someone, especially in the women's field, if you're under probably 130 pounds, you forget about it. Like, well, except for Belle, she's like an anomaly. But the sleds are just really freaking heavy. So if you're 110 pounds, like it's going to be incredibly hard for you to compete with at the pro weights and HYROX, even if you're a really phenomenal athlete. But if they, like maybe I talked to you about this. I think in Worlds they should have talked with their sponsors, got some like gift cards for people who won their age group, like, you know, did something because those people fly all the way to freaking England to do a race, like, and the age groups are competitive. Like it's
Oh,
not
yeah.
like it's just a bunch of nobodies. Like, you know, these people train hard, and I think that, you know, even giving them something like, I don't know, $200 Puma gift card that I'm sure that Puma would be fine providing to the event. I mean, I know I run a lot of local 5Ks. The Fleet Feet here, I mean, you every freaking 5K is like you can win like $60 if you win $60 Fleet Feet gift card. So I'm sure for like one event, their sponsors would be willing to donate some swag, power lift, you know, whatever like their sponsors are in Europe. Same with the US. I think that they just don't put enough emphasis on it. Or even if they had small cash prize purses for open and made the open weights part of the world championships. I know they did that in Chicago when they did the open pro world championships. They also had like a $250 for the person who won open, but it was only one. But I feel like they could do that, like a small prize purse for the top in open if they wanted to make that a bigger thing. And you could draw more like runners. Like, I mean, people who are like 110 pounds probably aren't going to do, the super heavy bullshit that I'm like killing myself to do. 'Cause it's just real heavy.
Normally, I'm not in favor of giving prizes to age group, but that's in a scenario like DECA or like Spartan, where you need to declare age group or elite. So what you have there is you that promotes sandbagging, people who should be running elite, then going to age group just to wrangle the prize, because maybe they're only top five in elite. So I'll go age group and wrangle a prize. But in HYROX's case, it works because an age group person is really just someone who didn't qualify for elite. They're just the next step down. So it works there. Nobody's going to sandbag do it, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm top 15, I'm elite, or I'm not. So then I'm just everybody else.
If I didn't want to race Elite 15, I could just give up my spot in race age group.
You could, but
So if there's money, maybe people would be like, well, I'm 15th. I'll
yeah.
drop on our way. I mean, but I
Unless
think,
you gave prize money, even a small bit, all the way down to 15. And
yeah.
I think do that anyways. Like kind of like Go Ruck game. Well, no, Go Ruck games, that's top eight. Like even if you were I think they paid out like 500. Basically just enough to cover your trip. Like so if it was $500, I would much prefer that to like they had an open bar, which I had plenty of fun at. I'm not knocking that bar, but I know that that wasn't like a cheap thing. And they only had that for the Elite 15, but I would much rather have had a little bit more help and assistance with my travel than to have like a big party. So yeah, if they could pay down to like the top 15, I understand that that's, I mean, that's a lot of money. If you gave 500 to places 9 through 15, that's another, what, 3,000 each, $6,000. I
They're
mean,
getting 4,000 people at an event. They can afford for one time a year to pay that extra.
well, and also there's no money at regular events anymore. So,
Exactly. And you know what? Cut the top 15 down to 10, and then you have more money.
there you
I know a
go.
lot of people not like that idea, but as a spectator, I think it's better.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it as much if I thought there was equality between courses.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I, if I didn't get in, I wouldn't feel like, well, I didn't get in because this course was fast, or I didn't get in because I've never felt that way in DECA. Like I'm never like, oh, well, this person just got on a fast course and beat me.
Yeah.
So if I thought that there was equality through the courses and it was top 10 and I just didn't make it, then it just is what it is. But I don't like feeling like I got shysted out of my spot because, and again, it's not the athlete's fault. They've got a good course, but it's still, it's still not fair.
Right. Well, I'm not going to keep you all night because that's
Yeah.
normally what we do.
We could talk and fix HYROX. And actually, I feel like there's not a lot to say too bad about DECA. But I on a very short note, I heard the Battle Bunker got a lot of sh
It's because you weren't there.
That's exactly why I didn't go, is because I felt like I don't like going into events where I don't know how the event is going to be scored.
Don't worry, neither do they.
Exactly. And I didn't like that. And that's how why I didn't do Go Ruck games again, aside from the fact that I knew I was going to have to camp. I want to know exactly what to expect as an athlete so I can make an informed decision on if I'm going to compete or not. Like, I know that they released the workouts, which I really liked. The workouts actually. But they had it on the same day as HYROX New York that I'd already committed to. So I think that was poor planning on their part because It's basically the one of two East Coast races that HYROX does. So to have the East Coast qualifier on that day, kind of sucked. Otherwise, I'd have probably done it because it was only an hour and a half from my house. I know. I was really into that whole last man standing run thing, and the yard work looked fun too.
Yeah. Well, the events looked good. Apparently, that was not the issue.
No, that was not the issue. Apparently, lots of bad reps, just like I saw in the qualifying rounds, and lots of just not good scoring and weird stuff. I know I read the there was a blog that Joel did, and like that's just crappy that from my understanding, Luke qualified there, and then 2 days later found out no, you didn't qualify.
Well, it's hard to tabulate a score on an event like that in a couple of hours. I have no idea. We're actually openly going to have Luke and is it Jay on and
Go.
Joel. And we're going to hopefully have them both on and talk to them about it because yep. It was it needs to be discussed and it was pretty predictable.
And I heard that was kind of how it was last year. It was like, you don't know, like I think Lauren was telling me, you didn't know how to score. They changed scoring like at the race. Like, so that was the thing I hated about Go Ruck is like, I feel like they could just make shit up. Like, I didn't know where I placed in any of the events. Like, it was just like except for the ruck, it was like, I don't know, like, how far I threw the bag, how many pull-ups everybody did. Like, you know, so when they called my name to go on for like top eight, I was like, I made it to the top eight. Who knew? I have no idea. Like, and I don't know. I just feel like it. Like kind of Joel said, it doesn't feel like a very professionally run event in that way that you're not like, it's like secret knowledge that you're not privy to. And then I don't know that I feel like, I would even think there's like some favoritism, even if there's not, it would make me feel like there was. So I don't know. It's just too old boy kind of club feel to me. And,
So here's my basic take on it. My basic take. An athletic event is run with a transparency and preparation. A reality show is run with secrecy and bullshit.
Yeah. So it's fun to watch, but I don't necessarily want to participate unless I was getting paid. And then, like Spartan Games, if they wanted to pay me to just come, cool. But otherwise, like, it's not fair to the athlete to invest so much time and effort, energy and money into an event that is not run professionally.
And nobody at the Olympics goes, okay, we're going to get your scoring out to you in 2 days.
Yeah.
After we figure out how we're going to score this.
Oh, by the way, we've changed how we're going to score it compared to what we were going to do. Anyway, we got another episode for that. Maybe you should come for that too, Tara.
Yeah. Let me know. I always have.
All right, Beth, why don't you wind us out?
Yeah, thanks so much, Tara, and congrats again on your HYROX season and finishing it off really well at the World Champs. So, and best of luck now as you shift to DecaFit. So we'll see you in those arenas.
Thank you.
North Carolina.
Throw your hands up.